faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Steven, and you're listening to The Saturday Morning Superman Show. You're a podcast about Superman in animation across generations. Today is Monday, September 6th, 2021, and it is the 25th anniversary of Superman the Animated Series. As the DCAU review said on Twitter, where has all the time gone? And that's what I'm asking myself. Where has all the time gone? 25 years. This is a highly exciting moment for me, for anyone that knows me personally, that follows me across social media, or has been listening to the Saturday Morning Superman Show. You'll know that Superman the Animated Series is my favorite incarnation of the Man of Steel. I love the work of Bruce Timm. And from what he did with Batman the Animated Series to Superman, as a comic book fan, it's hard not to enjoy these two prolific animated series. Now, Superman's my favorite superhero of all time. It's a character that I appreciated and enjoyed as a kid, but a character that I've grown to enjoy much more as I've gotten older. And as I've gotten older, I've developed an even fonder appreciation for Superman the Animated Series, which I honestly wish I had back in 1996, but we'll get more into that as this episode progresses. But welcome back to the Saturday Morning Superman Show. This is a very special 25th anniversary episode. If you had listened to this Saturday's episode, Soaring to Superman TAS-25, you'll remember that I spoke about the ideas that I have for a celebration all month long for a high-flying, action-packed, and soaring September. And one of the wonderful aspects of doing this show is the fact that I get to celebrate Superman and Superman in animation and Superman the Animated Series in the way that speaks to me as a fan in the way that I'd like to see the character celebrated. And this is really special because we're gonna go back in time just for a little bit. So bear with me. We're gonna go back. This is a special episode. I want to talk about Superman. So I hope you're great and happy and healthy. So sit back, relax. I'm going to share a story. So for those of you that are familiar with the Saturday Morning Superman Show, you know the origin story. You don't need to see it again. It's like Bruce Wayne's parents getting killed. Like, we don't need to see it. You know, if you're going to show it to us, you know, it could be quick and over in like 3 minutes, like Batman v Superman. But we don't need an origin again, much like Superman. We know what happens. If they ever do Superman again, we just start it with Superman. But the Saturday Morning Superman Show came to me back when I was working at Royal Collectibles, my local comic shop in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, and a wonderful sponsor of this show. And this is going back to summer 2019. And it was probably in May where I was coming off of this period where I was very disillusioned by Superman, specifically with the handling of the character. Following Justice League, there were so many different rumors from 2017 to 2019 that are still going on to this day, where Henry Cavill's going to be the character, he's not going to be the character, is he still attached, is he not? And it's been this roller coaster ride where I got to a point where it was that I had my fun with Superman, I collected the character to my heart's content, I was there for all the movies and all the announcements, but it finally came time to hang up the cape, to put the toys away, and basically say, Superman is dead, for now. to borrow an Our Lady Peace song title and lyric, to paraphrase, if you will. And I was talking with a friend of mine, Jason Costa, and he's a great person. He was a police officer, and then he transitioned over to being a firefighter. So he's a true Man of Steel himself and a big Superman fan. And we were just kind of going back and forth where we were talking about our mutual love for the character. And he had basically thrown out the idea that, you know, Steven, you should do a podcast about Superman. And I thought about it, and I jokingly said, yeah, you know what? I am going to do a podcast, and it's going to be called The Saturday Morning Superman Show, and it's going to be about Superman in animation across generations. That's the show. And he was like, oh, yeah, all right. Like, that's going to be a good podcast. And so we were both going back and forth with just friendly, you know, banter as two people would in a comic store. And there wasn't really any real plan to do a podcast. But the idea grabbed hold of me, and I started to realize that creating this podcast would probably be not as hard as I'd imagine it to be, and probably a lot more fun and fulfilling than some of the other ventures that I was currently active in the time. And so I immediately kind of like started to research doing podcasts and how to put the show together, and within really a month's time, it came together. I basically put it out there that I'm going to be doing a Superman podcast, and different collaborators and people that knew me were like, Steven, you know, if you're doing a show, I want to be involved. I want to do the music. I want to do the intro. I want, you know, if you're attached to it, I know it's going to be good. I just want to be involved in any kind of way. And it was a really humbling, an extremely rewarding moment, because I started to realize that this idea that I had was going to become a reality. And so you fast forward from May 2019 to August 2019, and my friend Justin Candelaria, who's also the co-host of the Saturday Morning Superman Show and someone who provides wonderful edits from several of the episodes, if not almost all of the episodes, we had two full seasons recorded. We would get together multiple times in a week, and we went through Superman the Animated Series Season 1, and then we went back, and then we did Superman the Theatrical Shorts by Fleischer Studios. And really, multiple times we would get together, and we would record them in blocks, because we knew that if we were going to do the show in any other way, we probably wouldn't be able to get it done as effectively. People have work commitments, life engagements, and sometimes people start a podcast with the best of intentions, with really great concepts, but the podcast falls apart because of life issues, where you have a wonderful teaser episode and pilot episode right out of the gate, and then someone's busy, so you can't do it 1 week, and then the next week, you don't really have the time to do it. And next thing you know, that's it. You didn't really succeed with what you wanted to do. And it's a tragedy, because there's so much creativity out there that it deserves to flourish. So we would block out days of the week that would be accommodating to both of our schedules. And we would watch two or three episodes of Superman the Animated Series at a time, take our notes, and then we would record the blocks of the episodes. So we would do one, two, three episodes in a day, then meet up again maybe 2 days later, and then we would do the same. And for those of you that remember, Superman the Animated Series Season 1 really isn't that long. It's only 13 episodes, so we went through that rather fast. And then when you get to the theatrical shorts by Fleischer Studios, I believe there's only 13 or 17 theatrical shorts. Forgive me that I'm not necessarily on point. I don't have it open in front of me. I'm not looking at my notes. And it's been a while since I did those, but I believe there were 17 theatrical shorts. And we had two full seasons, and they've been wonderful seasons, which I highly recommend all of you go back and listen to, especially as we're in the 25th anniversary month for Superman the Animated Series, please go back to season one, re-listen to those episodes, and just take note that they were recorded back in 2019, 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and that we're talking about episodes that were created by animators and directors and voice talent and produced by Warner Brothers for Kids WB 25 years ago. So that's quite a milestone. Everybody in the geek community loves celebrating milestones. We're a little nostalgic like that. And be it the 20th anniversary, the 29th anniversary, we don't necessarily wait for the big ones like the 10th, the 20th, the 30th. But here we are, 25 years. There's a lot to be said for Superman. It's a great time to be a Superman fan because earlier this year, we had Zack Snyder's Justice League finally premiere, this cut that people long said would never happen, that people said didn't even exist, finally was released to the public to wild applause and acclaim from those that really were receptive to it and open to it, such as myself. We had Superman and Lois premiere on Warner Brothers on the WB, on the CW, and that was a wonderful take on the mythology. That was just a recontextualization of the character that was very surprising. They really shattered any and all expectations, and I believe Tyler Hoechlin and Bitsy Tulloch are two of the finest live-action representations of the characters to this day of Superman and Lois Lane. And then we also had an announcement back in the summer, which people might have forgotten, but HBO Max committed to a 2-season order for the first Superman solo animated series since Superman TAS, called My Adventures with Superman. It's set in the early days of Superman's career, where Clark Kent, Lois Lane, and Jimmy Olsen are all in their young 20s, in their early 20s, and it has a wonderful cast. Jack Quaid is going to be the voice of Clark Kent Superman, so that's very exciting. You have Alice Lee, who's going to be voicing Lois Lane, and this is one of the first times that Lois Lane is going to be depicted as a Asian American woman, which I think is really cool and something that I'm very highly open to. And I think it's going to be a great show. I think it's going to be very different than what we've seen so far, but I'm all for pushing the boundaries with animation. It's the venue that I feel the character soars the best in, the highest in. But 25 years of Superman, the animated series, it's definitely my favorite version of the character, and I love it for multiple and numerous reasons. One of the places that I'd like to start with my love for Superman, the animated series, is very much that this was a show that I grew up with. I was born in 1989, so the same year as Batman the movie, starring Michael Keaton, directed by Tim Burton. And so for me, as a fan of DC Comics, I grew up in Batman primetime, where you had Batman the Animated Series on Fox Kids. You had Batman in 1989, Batman Returns in 92, Batman Forever in 95, and Batman and Robin in 97. Two Tim Burton movies, two Joel Schumacher movies, which meant so much to me as a kid. Specifically, the Schumacher era were the ones that I really responded to, from Val Kilmer to George Clooney to, you can't forget that Arnold Schwarzenegger was Mr. Freeze, got billing before the title, and George Clooney in that film. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. Everybody that knows me knows that. And I was definitely more receptive and responsive to Batman. Now, for me, I was very much aware of the Richard Donner, Christopher Reeve Superman movies, but I didn't grow up with Superman in theaters. I didn't have that theatrical experience until 2006's Superman Returns, which was directed by Bryan Singer and starring Brandon Routh as Clark Kent Superman. And because it wasn't until that experience, Batman really existed for me in my youth and in those early formative years. And I loved Superman. I watched the cartoon on and off. I had probably two figures of Superman. I had a Superman action figure from the Man of Steel line, and then I had the Superman quick change figure from the Superman the Animated Series line, which was Superman and Clark Kent. You have a Superman figure, and then you could apply the Clark Kent pieces onto the character. I also had Lex Luthor from that line as well. And I watched it, I was aware of it, but it didn't really speak to me in the way that Batman did. And it makes sense. I had the Batman movie, so I was definitely more absorbed with the world that consisted of the Joker and Penguin and Catwoman and Riddler and Two-Face and Bane and Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze, so much so, and more so than just Lex Luthor, Parasite, Brainiac, and all of those characters. But the Superman that spoke to me the most at that particular time in my early 90s childhood was definitely Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, starring Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher. So I really liked that show. And also, we can't forget that the Death of Superman comic book was happening right at that time. So I was definitely interested in Superman, but he didn't really mean that much to me. Much more until 2012, 2013. Following the Dark Knight trilogy, Warner Brothers announced that the next superhero that they were going to be developing was Superman. And this was going to be a reboot and revitalization of the character that had no attachments to the Richard Donner films, that had no connection to Superman Returns. It was going to be a complete restart, much like Christopher Nolan and David Goyer's Batman Begins in 2005. And interestingly, Christopher Nolan was actually going to return as a godfather to the project, serve as an executive producer alongside his wife, Emma Thomas, and also write the story and develop the story with David S. Goyer, who also co-wrote Batman Begins and the Dark Knight trilogy with Christopher Nolan and his brother, Jonathan. So I was very excited. Especially at that time, the idea that you'd be getting a Christopher Nolan produced Superman series sounded like one of the best things ever. To make it even more exciting was the fact that you had Zack Snyder, who's easily one of the best visual storytellers working in film today. Whether you like him or whether you don't, it's the fact that there's such a distinctive visual style that Zack Snyder has that you have to appreciate it. From Dawn of the Dead to 300, to Sucker Punch, to Legend of the Guardians, to Man of Steel. He's a very distinctive director. And from Dawn of the Dead, I loved his film. I loved what he had done with it. 300 came out, saw it, loved it. Then it was like, okay, Legend of the Guardians, I'm going to go see that. Sucker Punch, I'm going to go see that as well. So by the time he was attached to Man of Steel, it was a no-brainer. It's like, okay, we got Nolan, we got Snyder. This is going to be a much more powerful, muscular, action-packed, and visceral experience for the Man of Steel that we never got before. Aside from the fact that it wasn't even called Superman, the movie was called Man of Steel, much like The Dark Knight. And so I was all in. The casting excited me, from Henry Cavill to Amy Adams to Michael Shannon to Russell Crowe, Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, Harry Lennox, Christopher Maloney. It's a wonderful, wonderful cast. And Lawrence Fishburne. There's so many really wonderful people in that, and a lot of really fun Smallville cameos as well in that too. But I love Man of Steel, and the lead up to Man of Steel, to make it special, there were two things that I knew I had to do. One, I had to take myself back to school. I had to go to Royal Collectibles, my local comic book shop, and on an almost weekly and monthly basis, I basically read through the entire Superman library, starting with Action One by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, and working up to the Jim Lee run and reading All-Star with Frank Quietly and doing the pages for it, and Grant Morrison and the Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale stuff and everything. Basically, I was digesting one of the most meaningful of stories being Superman Birthright by Mark Waid and Lionel Yu. I really took myself to school on Superman and graduated at the top of the class. And in the 54 days leading up to Man of Steel, my mom and I engaged in a fun activity that we've done for each Batman movie. Prior to the release of each Batman movie, we'll normally have a countdown where we'll watch one Batman episode a night leading up to the premiere. So we would go through the three first seasons of Batman animated series and then go into the new adventures of Batman and Robin. And we would do all four seasons, you know, one episode a night. So the 54 days leading up to Man of Steel, we were watching Superman the animated series, and it was very exciting to go back and just do these episodes in that particular way. It was something that highly excited me. It was a wonderful moment that I got to share with my mom. It's something that we did again for Batman v Superman, and then we did again for Justice League. So we've done it three times that we've watched that season together, and it meant a lot to me to have that opportunity to share in great animation that I enjoyed as a kid, but that I had more of an appreciation for as a young adult, and to have that time with my mother. You know, I wouldn't trade that for the world. That's some of my fondest memories. Each time I do this podcast, I'm actively thinking of that time that I got to, you know, spend with my mom watching those episodes. If there's ever another Superman movie, we have to do it. We of course have to do it. Hopefully it's a Henry Cavill movie. I fingers crossed. But that was how I really came to love Superman the animated series. It represented the best of the character, and in the way that Bruce Timm and company approached Batman the animated series, in which they retooled the characters, but to an extent that every generation would recognize who they are, and taking the best of the characters from the looks to the stories, that's what they did with Superman. So you have Superman, you have Perry White, you have Lois Lane, you have Jimmy Olsen, you have Martha and Jonathan and Toyman and Parasite and all of these wonderful characters that are in existence. Metello, another wonderful villain that really just capture the iconography of Superman. It also felt true to people that grew up with the Kirk Allen shorts, to the George Reeves television show, to Christopher Reeve in film, to even Dean Cain, where it touched on who Superman is, what he embodies as a DC Comics superhero, and it's just that big blue beacon of justice, that strongman archetype that's filled with compassion, that provides hope, and no matter how much he gets the tar knocked out of him, he keeps on coming. And I responded to that take of Superman so well. And along with the fact that Tim Daly is an exceptional Clark Kent Superman and my favorite Superman of all time, right next to Henry Cavill and Tyler Hoechlin, of course, it made for a really, really fun television show, something that I think about truly every single day. And in days where I'm not necessarily active on social media with a Saturday morning Superman show on Instagram or Twitter, or maybe there's hiatus between podcast seasons or podcast episodes, it's still something that I'm continually thinking of. And just in regards to the look of Superman, the appearance of Superman, the animation, the world of Metropolis. In the Soaring to Superman TAS 25, I spoke about the art style of it, and that's something that really speaks to me now, where I have so much more of an appreciation of that art form, of that ocean liner deco. That's a wonderful compliment to the art deco of Batman TAS. And it's a very bright, very powerful, very optimistic looking world. And it looks beautiful. So that is Superman to me. That's how the character exists to me. And it's something that I take to heart so much. I love doing the Saturday morning Superman show. And I hope you enjoy listening to it. I hope you have fun listening to me go on about the character. We're about 24 minutes into the show. So, as I promised, I wanted to do something a little special for this episode. Now, for Superman the animated series turning 25 on September 6th, today being the 25th anniversary, I wanted to go back and re-explore The Last Son of Krypton, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3. Now, I don't want this to be the hour and 30 minute podcast episode. I don't want this to feel like Zack Snyder's Justice League, where it's this four hour episode show that you have to listen to in 30 minute increments. I don't want it to be that kind of podcast. I know as a podcast listener myself, once it starts hitting the 20, 30 minute mark, that's when I'm like, all right, I might have to put this down for now. So I would like to go back and rewatch The Last Son of Krypton Part 1. And I'm not going to do Part 2 or Part 3 right now. I would like to revisit them at a later point, but there's so much material for Superman the Animated Series to cover, and there's no time limit at all on the show, so I'm kind of changing things along. I wanted to say what I wanted to say about Superman, so we're not going to do Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3 today. Not in this episode, but we will do The Last Son of Krypton Part 1. So, as always, if you would like to watch it with me, you can find it on HBO Max. They premiered on HBO Max back in March ahead of Zack Snyder's Justice League. They've all been remastered in high definition to a transfer that really allows the viewer to reappreciate the show, the work that went into it, and see it again truly with the new eyes. Or you could put on the DVD or the VHS if you happen to even have it. If you have the VHS of The Last Son of Krypton Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3, let me know. Tag me on Instagram, shoot me a message on Twitter. I want to see that. If you have that in your collection, I'd love to see that. But Superman, the animated series, The Last Son of Krypton, it originally premiered in primetime on WB. It premiered on Friday night, September 6th, 1996. And what was really special about the presentation of this was that for the prestigious event that Warner Brothers made it into, you watched it at night. And this was a full-length movie. It was the three animated episodes edited together as one piece, and it was brilliant. I remember watching this that night of September 6th with my mom and my dad, because this was the next version of Superman that we were getting, in addition to Christopher Reeve and Dean Cain. And also at this time, Tim Burton and Nicolas Cage were developing their film Superman Lives, so there was a lot of ideas that Superman Lives might borrow from Superman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series might influence Superman Lives, and that this would be the next version of Superman that we can really expect that would live on in animation and potentially live action. Of course, that didn't happen, but it was still a very special primetime event. If you go on Instagram, you'll have seen that I posted an actual ad from TV Guide promoting the primetime event. So that's something that if you haven't checked out yet, go to Saturday Morning Superman Show on Instagram or at Sat Morning Superman or Sat Superman Show on Twitter. It's all in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, check out the show notes. Definitely follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and you'll see that vintage ad that I'm referring to. But The Last Son of Krypton, it was done with the animation services of Coco Dong Yang. It was written by Alan Burnett and Paul Dini, who everyone should know from Batman the Animated Series. And Part 1 was directed by Dan Reba, and the music was provided by Lolita Ritmanis. Michael McQuestion and Harvey Cohen did Part 2 and Part 3, respectively, but Lolita Ritmanis did a wonderful job composing the soundtrack for Superman, something that we'll get into in a little bit. But without further ado, how about we go into a pod, travel back to the distant planet of Krypton, and meet Jor-El as he conducts research in the desolate northern region on the planet Krypton. And before he's attacked by a giant amoeba, which is referenced as a Shoggoth, which is also a clever H.P. Lovecraft nod, to encountering Brainiac, being the ultimate douche that he is, to seeing resistance from the Kryptonian Council alongside his father-in-law, Salvan, who's voiced by Tony Jay, who you might remember from Reboot, alongside being in season one of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. We're going to travel back to the distant planet of Krypton right now. But before we do, I have to interrupt for a special broadcast of a very special ad from 1996. You've got the power. Superman figures sold separately. I really wish we were in 1996 right now and you could run to a KB Toys and Toys R Us and see the Superman the Animated Series action figures all on display again. If I was able to go back, I would take my little Kodak camera, take a picture, have the film developed, and just make sure to hold on to it so I could then revisit it in the year 2021 for the 25th anniversary. But without further ado, let's take a look at Superman the Animated Series, The Last Son of Krypton, Part 1. So, the Superman the Animated Series opens up with the intro, something that I've spoken about 13 times in the previous Season 1, which is currently streaming on Podbean, Stitcher, CastBox, and Spotify. This is one of the first times that I'm watching it on HBO Max, and it really, the HD remaster looks so sharp. One of the aspects of Superman the Animated Series that it was much different than Batman the Animated Series was there really wasn't that much texture and detail into the characters. That was something that Bruce Timm and company really decided on, that to really have Superman work in the way that he could with the cape and the costume, they couldn't really afford to have that much detail on them. So the colors are very simplistic and the line work is very simplistic. But it also pays homage to the Hercules cartoon from, I believe, the 1960s. When they were originally developing the look for Superman, I remember that Bruce Timm recounted that Paul Dini walked into the office and he had the tape of Hercules on VHS. And he put it in and they were watching it and Bruce Timm paused it, drew Hercules, but then drew Superman over him, and then it was like, that's our Superman. So if you go back and you take a look at that Hercules cartoon, I'll definitely post about that, if not today, later this week. You'll see that they look very, very much alike, and I'm surprised there's not more fan art around that depicts Superman and Hercules like in an arm wrestling contest or like teaming up together, because they are basically the same from an animation standpoint. Now, Superman the Animated Series also opens with an intro that's far different from Batman the Animated Series, and that's that it doesn't have an intro in the Batman TAS sense. And the reason for that is because they actually ran out of time. They had developed an intro for Superman the Animated Series, but because of time constraints, they actually weren't able to do it. So they ended up doing basically like a clip of like the greatest hits of the season. And so all the shots that you see in that are set to like the work of like Shirley Walker and like Lolita Ritmanis' score, it's all episodes that you would see later on within Superman the Animated Series. Now, I really like this intro very much. I would have been interested to see what they had planned for the intro that would have provided more of like a bookend to Batman the Animated Series. There are storyboards which I've seen in a Superman book that I have. This is something that I've posted about a while ago on Instagram, but this is something else that I'll be sure to repost and share with you for those of you listening to the podcast now, or even for those of you that are new to the show or new to the Instagram and Twitter page, because it is interesting. It shows a lot of Superman flying, and I think that would have been interesting to see. But I do like the way this show opens, especially because you see all the episodes. You see him fighting, like, Lobo. You see him in, like, the Neutron Star suit. You see him with Lex Luthor. And there's a lot of iconic moments that you get that just look really, really cool. And also, one of the aspects of cartoons on Saturday mornings that I remember as a kid is that I would watch this and think, oh man, like, when are we going to get the Lobo episode? When are we going to get the Metallo episode? When are we going to see Superman holding the plane, you know, from falling out of the sky? And it would really serve as this really great way to hype the audience up, especially the score is so good. It's different from John Williams' score for the Christopher Reeve films. And rightfully so, they didn't want to go back and redo that score. It's so iconic. The third animated show in Superman history, the Ruby Spears 1980 show, actually used the John Williams theme. So it's interesting that this show, this series, didn't. But there are still those iconic notes that seem very John Williams-like. In the commentary for Superman the Animated Series, Bruce Timm also added that it's not a good Superman theme if you can't sing Superman. So in a lot of ways, if you listen to the theme, it's like Superman, Superman, and da 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 da, and it's like that. And it's, you can sing Superman to the theme, and you can very much do that with John Williams. You can't really do that so much with what Hans Zimmer and Tom Holkenborg did for Batman, for Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and Zack Snyder's Justice League. But for these more traditional themes, it does work. And also, lately I've been really getting back into Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, and Xena Warrior Princess, really two great 90s action adventure series that are currently on Tubi TV. And I grew up watching Hercules, and if you listen to the score, I believe the composer was Joseph DeLuca. You can almost sing Hercules to that too, and it's also very John Williams like. So I like the work of Superman the Animated Series, the intro. I think the intro works super well, no pun intended. And the score for the series is magnificent. It holds right up there with the work of John Williams and Hans Zimmer. I believe that if you look at Superman and the sound of Superman as it's existed in history, the three probably most iconic themes would be John Williams, Shirley Walker, Lolita Ritmanis, Harvey Cohen, and Michael McQuestion's work for animated series, and then Hans Zimmer. You can also probably acknowledge the classic radio show, dun-da-da, 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 dun-da-da. And you could probably, like, acknowledge that as well, but it's the work of, like, Sammy Timberg, I believe, who did the Fleischer theatrical shorts. But it works. And at the point that we're at in The Last Son of Krypton right now is there are these tremors that are happening on Krypton, a very different Krypton than we've seen in the Richard Donner films. This is much more geographically like what we see in the opening shots of 2013's Man of Steel, where it's a very lush environment. The sky is like this very kind of like rosé pinkish tone. There are buildings that are more bug-like and flower-like that are just erupting out of the actual ground. And the whole design work of even the costuming, it's very alien in nature. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Tim Burton had said that he didn't like the look of the Kryptonians in Superman the movie because he felt like that they were all looked like Jiffy Pop bags ready to explode. And I know there are a few listeners out there that really aren't too keen on when I talk about the Christopher Reeve, Richard Donner movies in a particular sense. They're movies that I love. I absolutely adore them as classics. But there is a legitimacy to that argument. I mean, if you look at Brando as Jor-El, there is that kind of Jiffy Pop bag, ready to explode look. And then you look at the wardrobe that Russell Crowe has as Jor-El in Man of Steel, and it's a lot more ornate. It's a lot more neo-medieval.
And I definitely am more partial to that. I really like the neo-medieval tones to Man of Steel. And you get a little bit of that in this Superman the Animated Series. They also kind of remind me a little bit of like what you see George Carlin and the different people wear in Bill and Ted in those two films. But it has that like look to it, and I really like it. I like that they look alien. They look human enough, but they're also very alien. And the voice work, I mean, is so incredible. You have to think about like the different talents that they had at this particular time. And you're in Superman, the animated series, you know, you're not even at Clark Kent Superman with Tim Daly, Dana Delaney, and Clancy Brown yet. You're dealing strictly with Krypton. For a whole first episode, this whole Last Son of Krypton is all on Krypton. So you're dealing with it for roughly like 22, 23 minutes. And you have the voice work of Christopher McDonald as Jor-El, Finola Hughes as Lara, Tony Jay as Sylvain, and Corey Burden as Brainiac. And these are three, you know, really, I mean, three, four magnificent players that really bring their all to the sound of Superman again. And also, I'd like to make mention that the talented Jesse Baden is the voice of Baby Kal-El. I'd like to point that out there. And if I'm not mistaken from my own research, Jesse Baden, I believe the only voice work that he ever did was as the baby Superman. So that's actually a little interesting to just add that out right now. But as Superman, Jor-El explores more of Krypton, he's faced with this dilemma that Krypton is dying and he doesn't understand why Brainiac disagrees with him. Brainiac says, human error, I'm afraid. And then Jor-El's like, you know, he's so baffled by why Brainiac is standing in his way of being able to declare to the Kryptonian Science Council that the planet's dying, that climate change is real, and that our world is coming to an end, and you're telling me that I'm wrong. And you're in this very Mobius-inspired room. That's also something that in the commentary by Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett and Paul Dini, they do make mention that in deciding on a look for Krypton, it had to look futuristic, it had to look different, and in one of the inspirations that they had was the artist Mobius. And if you look at the technology that you're seeing here with a lot of like the architecture of like the squares, the paneling, the lights, it does have a very Mobius inspired look to it, and it doesn't look anything like the way Krypton's envisioned as an icy planet in Superman the movie, which I think works for that film, but also for Superman the Animated Series, I like that they established something very different. And from Jor-El himself, it's also a different presentation of the character. In the earliest stories of Superman from the theatrical shorts, you didn't have a Jor-El character. You just had Clark Kent, Baby Kal-El, rocketing to Earth, being adopted. In some instances, he was in a foster home, and then in other instances, based on how the characters were later developed in comics and on radio, you had the Martha and Jonathan character. So if you remember in the Fleischer shorts, Martha and Jonathan don't exist alongside Jor-El and Lara. They aren't in existence at that time. But the interesting thing about Jor-El here is that he's definitely an adventurer, and you can see how Kal-El will take after his father. They have a very similar look. Jor-El's hair is definitely shorter, but he's this adventurer cut kind of character in the mold of like an Edgar Rice Burroughs hero. John Carter is the first person that comes to mind, as he's just this grand science fiction character. And Jor-El reminds me of that, where he's taking matters into his own hands for the greater good of his family and for his planet. And you get this magnificent chase scene where Jor-El is escaping like the Kryptonian security and police forces on these like motorized vehicles. And it looks great. It looks so different from everything that you saw in Batman the Animated Series. And it was essential that Superman the Animated Series felt different. That I think a great shame would be to have a Superman show that looked exactly like Batman the Animated Series, but just with different characters. And even when you move off of Krypton and you get to Smallville and you get to Metropolis, it's a very different world and a very different landscape, but feels that it as if it takes place in the same universe. And as, of course, we later on discover, Superman the Animated Series is the counterpart show to Batman the Animated Series, and you do get to see them wonderfully interact with one of the one another in The World's Finest Episodes, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3, which I am getting to later on in the series. So Jor-El is escaping the center, and he jumps out of the Citadel window, and he slides down the architecture. And also, I have to make mention that for anybody that feels that Zack Snyder took too many liberties in Man of Steel, I highly invite you to go back to Superman the Animated Series, specifically The Last Son of Krypton Part 1, because you can see how much of this show definitely influenced the work of David S. Goyer, Christopher Nolan, and Zack Snyder as they were developing not only the story, but the look of Superman the Animated Series. So the scene that we find ourselves in now is at Sulvan, Lara's father. He's with Lara, and he's looked over the research that Jor-El provided, and he's afraid that Jor-El is in fact right, that the world is coming to an end. But when Jor-El arrives, you can see that he's like cut. It looks like, you know, he has like bruised ribs. He's bleeding from the lips, and you can see that, like, the worst is about to come, that, you know, he never thought it would come to this. And then Sulvan's like, come to what? What are you talking about? What's this nonsense about Brainiac? And then he's like, Sulvan, if you love your grandson and care one whit about his future, you'll kindly shut up. And it's delivered with such great intensity by Christopher McDonald, who's also an actor who's having this sort of renaissance right now, which I'm really excited to see. He's been wonderful on the Comedy Central and now HBO Max series Search Party, and he's also been in Hacks, which is also on HBO Max, and he was just recently cast in the upcoming Disney Plus MCU show Secret Wars, which we don't really know who he's going to be. There was talks that they were looking for somebody to play a Tucker Carlson-like character, and I kind of guess that Christopher McDonald would probably be perfect for a Tucker Carlson-like role, especially for those of you that know who Tucker Carlson is, because he's very different than the Christopher McDonald of Jor-El fame, but still very much Christopher McDonald. So, that's just something that I'd like to add about him. I love seeing actors have, like, little renaissances, and I think he's having a really good time as an actor. But, yeah, this is such an intense moment because you don't really see blood or an intensity or violence in animated shows. Specifically now, you know, if it's going to be on network television, you're not going to see it. Especially, you know, you have things on Netflix now, so between Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, you could really push the limits. The first thing that comes to mind is the show Invincible on Amazon Prime. I haven't watched it, but I know that it is extremely violent and graphic. But for a 96 animated show, you do see Jor-El with a trickle of blood, and you don't really see that in cartoons. Also, another interesting aspect of the show that I want to point out that I remember Justin and I had spoke about when we recorded The Last Son of Krypton Part 1 back in 2019 for Season 1 of the Saturday Morning Superman show is that Lara has a prominent role in this. She's normally not given that much to do, and here we are with her, and she's been extremely active in the action, and here she is with Clark Kent, before he's Clark Kent, baby Kal-El and Jor-El, and they're about to send the baby to Earth. So let's take a listen to that scene now.
Once he gets to Earth, he'll be safe. send you with him. There's a risk, but if I have time to recalibrate the course...
No, my love. I'm staying with you.
The patrol's reporting in. Jor-El's escaped their perimeter. They're requesting further instructions.
It doesn't matter anymore. Farewell, Krypton.
And what in complete dick is Brainiac? I love that moment so much. It gets me every time. But that's it. You know, Kal-El is rocketed off in his rocket ship as Jor-El and Lara watch him get sent away in a very Moses-like way. And then Jor-El's escaped their perimeter. They're requesting further instructions. It doesn't matter anymore. Farewell, Krypton. And then static, and he's out. And then they're like, what's going on? Where did he go? Where's Brainiac? And you see Brainiac upload himself into this this like sphere. It's almost like this alien ship. It almost kind of looks like a much smaller version of the Borg ship. And he just takes off. And then you see Sullivan, where he's just like, this is it. This is the last one. And as Lara and Jor-El embrace one another, they say goodbye to their child and send him off. And they recognize that this is it. It's the end of the world. And it's a really powerful moment to end The Last Son of Krypton Part 1 on, because while there is that hope that you're filled with as you see Kal-El get sent off, you've spent the last 20 minutes with Jor-El and Lara, and you do have this affection and affinity for them, and you want to see them succeed. And even though you know that they're not going to get off the planet and that Krypton is going to be destroyed, you do want to see like this what-if take where what if Lara and Jor-El survived, and unfortunately you don't get that here. And then in a very explosive and graphic finale, you do see Krypton get torn apart. And as explosions rip through the surface of the planet, it again calls to mind the destruction of Krypton in the beginning of Man of Steel. If you look at the Man of Steel opening, and then you go back to Superman the Animated Series, The Last Son of Krypton Part 1, there are so many different influences there. And I love that Man of Steel does pay tribute to Superman in animation and comics. There's a little Fleischer Superman in there. There's a little Superman the Animated Series. So it's very much aware of what came before. And I think that that's what really works about the movie for me, that you get to see an aspect of Superman exist in a way that we never really did before. And that's it. You see the rocket whoosh off as it's surrounded by just elements of Krypton exploding around it. Kal-El is smiling as he's asleep. He enters this wormhole that it's like the hyperdrive that punches through space. And as he has this forlorn look where it's almost a little bittersweet and sad, he's sent off the planet. And that's it for The Last Son of Krypton, Superman theme by Shirley Walker, who's just such an amazing, amazing composer and really, truly did such wonderful work for Superman. The end credits have this very prolific, almost Greek mythological take on Superman, where he's like this. You see the shape of his face and his shoulders, but you don't see himself actually in detail. It actually reminds me a little bit of Hercules from the Disney animated show and the animated film. And again, you could definitely draw comparisons to Hercules and Superman very easily. I think they're similar characters in many respects, but that's a podcast for another time. That does it for The Last Son of Krypton Part 1. I want to thank you so much for joining me as I spoke about my love for Superman, the animated series. And thank you so much for those of you that stuck around to listen to me offer a re-exploration, a new commentary for The Last Son of Krypton Part 1. If you feel like it was not in-depth and that I didn't offer too much information worth your while, go back to Season 1. It's currently on CastBox, Podbean, Stitcher, and Spotify. It's all there for your listening pleasure. All 13 episodes of Superman the Animated Series are there in Season 1 in full. And I highly invite you to go back and re-listen to those episodes. Justin, Candelaria, and myself had so much fun doing seasons one and seasons two of Superman, the animated series, and the Fleischer theatrical shorts that we hope you go back and you listen to them on occasion because they're a lot of fun. And especially in the month of September, as we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of Superman TAS, what better time than to go back and to listen to our podcast? Podbean is one of the best outlets for it. So if you're on Instagram or you're on Twitter, all you have to do is click the link in the bio and it'll take you to the page where you can easily listen to the episodes and you can download them without feeling like you have to subscribe or download any apps, which are all free, by the way. And if you enjoyed the episode and you really liked it, give it a thumbs up, give it a review, and leave a comment on the podcast episode. I love hearing what people have to say. If there are insights into the episode that you feel that maybe I didn't add in this episode or the original episode, let me know. I'd love to hear your insights, stuff that maybe you took notice of that maybe I didn't, or just share the things that you enjoy about the show. We're going to be doing this for the whole month, so I'm excited for you to join me, and I guess I'll re-acknowledge this week on Saturday, September 11th, we're finally dropping a Saturday Morning with Tim Daly episode. I had the wonderful opportunity to speak to Tim Daly, the voice of Clark Kent and Superman, of Superman the Animated Series. So I hope you'll tune in to that episode on Saturday. I had so much fun recording it with him. I'd love to speak with him again. He's definitely, truly embodies Superman in every way. I'd even love to speak to Christopher McDonald at some point, but we have a Saturday Morning with Tim Daly dropping this Saturday on September 11th. So I hope you listen to that. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a high-flying, action-packed, soaring September 6th. I hope you take some time to watch a little of Superman the Animated Series, maybe a few clips on YouTube, maybe the actual episodes if you've purchased it or if you have it on HBO Max or the DVD. The Blu-ray is coming out next month. And I hope you follow along with the Saturday Morning Superman show on Instagram and Twitter, because we have a whole day of content planned, of ads and imagery that we hope you'll enjoy as we celebrate an entirety of a show that deserves as much love, if not even more love, than Batman the Animated Series. So that does it for this episode of Superman the Animated Series, this 25th anniversary special. I'm your host, Stephen Biscotti. You can find me on Twitter at Regimantle, uppercase III. That's Regimantle, III. You could also find me on Instagram at Sherbert Downey Jr. The show notes contain where you could find me, where you could find the podcast, where you could support all the people that we love and adore. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, be peaceful.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.
Kids, come meet your new sitter. Looks like a good time to check out Burger King.
Yeah, that sounds great. What are you watching?
Superman fighting Brainiac?
Turn it down.
Cool new Superman toys are now at Burger King. You can get one with every kid's club meal.
Well, what have we here?